أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا حبيب الله رب العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعليه الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، ولعنة الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، عظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم، والسلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. Tonight is a very special night for two reasons. One is the eve of Arafah, and it's a night of forgiveness, and we'll talk a bit about the fazilat, importance of the day of Arafah, and also the night of Arafah and how important tonight is. The second is obviously the eve of the Shahadat of Hazrat Muslim ibn Aqil, and also Hani ibn Arwa, who was the companion of the Prophet. And this marks the beginning of the first Shaheed from the camp of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And we'll also look at the historical accounts in regards to the Shahadat of Hazrat Muslim ibn Aqil. First, we'll begin with talking a bit about tonight's and its importance and forgiveness. And then, inshallah, we'll look into the history of Hazrat Muslim ibn Aqil. If you help me with the Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. As we've been reminding each other about these 10 nights and the importance of it, and tonight that really concludes it. As the Prophet says, that there are certain sins, and those sins are never forgiven unless or until on the day of Arafah. So this points out to a very unique and special day, and the Prophet is mentioning that certain sins are not forgiven in other days other than the day of Arafah itself. This really shows the importance of it. So one have to make sure that one fully utilizes it, make full use of tomorrow, which is the day of Arafah. And due to the very fact, this makes the eve of Arafah, which is tonight, as special as well. And there are amal of tonight, amal of the Shabe Arafah, the eve of Arafah, which are very important as well in the books of Dua, particularly in Mafati, one would find. And as this has been the case, that because of the importance of the next day, the eve becomes very unique and special, because it is at that mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is at its threshold, it's about to begin. And that's what makes Fajr as unique for the day. The dawn is very important. Just before, you know, for example, the sun is gonna rise. And the beginning of the month, very important, you know. And the very first night, which is the next month, is tomorrow. That night, special du'as, you know. So like Friday, you know, the Thursday night becomes very unique. It's because Friday is a very special day. So the premise or the beginning of a unique reality, of a phenomena, whatever take place that hour, becomes very unique, right? The eve of the Eid, which the tradition says is no less than the night of Qadr itself. The birth of a child, the labor whether that mother goes through, and that hour is that the hour of acceptance of dua, because it's the new beginning, something about to come into this world. The beginning of a marriage, when that ahd is being pronounced, you know, that becomes a very unique and special. So tonight becomes unique and special because of the day, of what it contains in it. As Hazrat Amirul Mumineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam mentions, that the day of Arafah, that the night of Arafah is been given in order that the Hujjaj go outside Makkah and they seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they be honored by it, meaning that they are forgiven by it, they purify themselves, and then they have the right to enter this blessed city. So the requirement of entering Makkah is complete forgiveness of oneself, because that city is very special and unique and pure. It requires one to be pure in order that he enters. So the day of Arafah, the night of Arafah, it is an opportunity provided to the Hujjaj that they go outside the premises of Makkah, the boundaries of Makkah, and seek forgiveness. They ask the Prophet, what is the biggest sin of a person on the day of Arafah that he could commit? The Prophet said that the biggest sin on the day of Arafah is that if he thinks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not forgiven him, that itself is the sin. And other hadith supports and says, on the day of Arafah, a person's all of his sins is forgiven, and he will come out of Arafah as if he is a newborn, regardless of what that person is. Sheikh Hussein Ansari mentions this in one of his talks, and it makes sense as well, as the day of Arafah is the blessed day and the day where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all the sins. And in another tradition which says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gazes or looks at the angels and he says, look at my servants, how they have traveled far from different cities. They have spent so much. They are in this wilderness, in this desert, sitting on the ground, crying and weeping for the forgiveness. And Allah is proud of the servants. So therefore, here it's been mentioned that as the day of Arafah is the day of forgiveness, and all of the sins of the Hujjaj are forgiven in the ground of Arafah, even those who are Nasibi, because Allah have promised. But the point is that if he remains upon that, you know, kufr, if he remains upon that, you know, then obviously he's back again. He is forgiven. But if he remains on that, when he is about to come out and is still attached to his, you know, false belief that he has, obviously, he still has remained. But what Allah have promised, what the Imams are mentioning, what the Prophet is mentioning, the day a person comes out like a new child. So how unfortunate that person would be, as our fourth Imam have also mentioned, that there was a beggar who was asking someone or some aid and help on the day of Arafah. He says, vow unto you, is this the day to extend your hand to someone other than God? This is the day to extend your hand to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam adds, and he says, that person who is extending his hand other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the most unfortunate person. Day of Arafah, the eve of Arafah, is seeking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The day of Arafah, or the ground of Arafah, as the tradition says from the Prophet, why it has been named as the ground of Arafah. A person from the Jewish faith asked about 9 questions. And in one of the questions was that in regards to why the ground of the Arafah have been named as Arafah. The Prophet mentions that it has been named as Arafah is because Adam was forgiven on this ground. In another tradition, the reason why the ground of Arafah is named Arafah is because in that ground, a person have the ma'rifat, or the understanding, or the knowledge of who he is, what he is, and of his sins. It is the day, it is that hour, it is the time to really, you know, take refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, it is a lifetime opportunity, especially for the Hujjaj and for us all here, so that the mercy of Allah extends. It includes everybody. A person sincerely who is participating in these du'as, who is yearning and he wants to, it is a lifetime opportunity given to him. Now we are here. We are not there. So we have to make sure that we utilize this opportunity given to us. So it is the day in which It is the ground on which people understand or have the ma'rifat of who they are and what they are. Really nothing. The af, forgiveness, is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, always one have to regard the aspect of the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the kamal of God, as the perfection of God, rather than one should really expect that Allah should always forgive. So it is the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we are seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when we are seeking astaghfar, when we are seeking forgiveness, we are asking from the kamal and perfection of the Lord. And one must really regard oneself as nothing. How can really one regard oneself as something? It is the tawfiq and blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that such a day has been provided to us. Muslim ibn Aqil, when he was arrested and when he was about to be taken up the roof of the castle, what was he doing? He was doing astaghfar. Who we are compared to Muslim ibn Aqil. About to attain that martyrdom, shahadat, he is doing astaghfar. We think that, you know, we are doing sufficient enough in terms of our ibadat, in terms of our amal. We are praying, we are attending majalis, we are doing dhikr, so on. Our attitude, the way we behave, the way we function, we regard ourselves as something. When we look at the companions, the faithful friends, and when we look at the imams, how they cried, how they seek forgiveness even after being masoom. So one should not be arrogant of oneself. One should submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One should regard of whatever good deeds and good acts that he has done as nothing in front of his Lord. You know, regarding oneself as nothing is really, the more we regard ourselves as nothing, the more we are regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be perfect. Who does not want to regard Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as perfect? If I refrain myself, if I hold myself from saying that I am really haqir, I am really faqir, I am really nothing, that means I'm not accepting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be kamil and to be perfect. The more we regard ourselves as nothing, the more perfection, the more praise we are doing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we go in that sajda, we should force ourselves to come out of that sajda. We should be majboor to come out of the sajda. We have to. Because we have to do other things as well. But oh Allah, if I have the opportunity, what did Musa, Nuh alayhi salam said? I will spend all my 60, 70 years of life in one sajda. Right? This is how our prophets were. So when we go in that sajda, when we seek that, when we do that tasbih, that tawajjuh has to be there. You know, Allah is fully aware. You know, Allah is fully aware of even our thoughts that pass by, that we don't even realize that these thoughts have gone. We even have to bring that to account when we are seeking forgiveness. So the ground of Arafah is known as the ground of Arafah. It is that ground in which one have that ma'rifat and understanding of oneself. When one regards oneself as nothing, then automatically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be regarded as kamil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be regarded as perfect. So this means that he is regarding Allah, he is having the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is that ground where when he regards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be it, then he has the liaqat, then he has the proper condition and criteria to enter haram. Unless or otherwise he doesn't have. With that white robe, with no libas, in that dusty, dry desert, with no proper roof, far away from the family members, by himself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, you know, that ground is the ground where one have that ma'rifat. In another hadith it says that it was that ground where Jibreel descended from the heaven to Hazrat Ibrahim and from there he started showing the amal of Arafah, the amal of Hajj, to Hazrat Ibrahim. It begins there in Arafah. That's where the amal begins. In another hadith it says it was this ground where Hazrat Ibrahim had the dream of sacrificing Hazrat Ismail. It was this ground. It was this place where Hazrat Ibrahim had done. And that is why you have the, you know, Rami. That's why you have those shayateen, where one sort of stones. It's very close to the Maidan of Arafah, to the ground of Arafah. So that is why that ground is known as the ground of Arafah. Hazrat Ibrahim got that dream, that ma'rifat of that sacrifice. So it is a very unique and special night, a night of forgiveness, seeking forgiveness. And the na'at and the quality of forgiveness, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is awla, you know, He has a priority. It is a quality of perfection of the Lord. One thing to keep in mind is that if we want, as it is a quality of kamal, right? Forgiving is a quality of kamal. So therefore, when we are seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should also have that heart to forgive as well. Because it's a quality of kamal, the quality of perfection. Who does not want to have this quality of kamal and perfection? So one's heart should be so big, one's heart should be so wide, that he should have this kamal of forgiving. So it is also a day where one practices, or where one comes to the realization of forgiving, that one have to forgive. If we are expecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us, we should have also the capacity to forgive others as well. So the day of Arafah is a day of blessing, is a day of forgiveness. We should really ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah puts that in our heart. Make our heart melt. Make our heart big enough to really forgive others. And that's how, what our imams have taught. That's what the Prophet and others have taught. Right. Then this night becomes special also because of Hazrat Muslim ibn Ya'qub. It's the Shahadat. What a unique night. What a unique day, the day of Arafah. What a beginning. What a beginning of Karbala is taking place. What is really pointing out to? That on the day of Arafah he was blessed, Shahadat, where he purified himself and he entered the Haram of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the true Hajj. The Hajj of Imam Hussein, where Imam Hussein changed the Hajj to Umrah. The true Hajj is that. The first Haji of this Hajj is Muslim ibn Ya'qub. A little brief for our youngsters to really catch up on history. When we look at the books of history, we find that on the 15th of Ramadan, this means that Imam is already in Mecca. Imam Hussein is in Mecca. He left in on the 28th of Rajab. Safar Imam Hussein, 28th of Rajab. He comes to Mecca with the intention of performing Hajj, with the intention of because people will be gathering there. It is the Hajj time, all from all over the world. People will be coming there. All Muslims will be coming there, and he will speak to them and he will invite them. Many of the Ashab were gathered there as well. So on the 15th, letters came from Kufa. According to the traditions, there were about 12,000 letters that arrived. Kufa was a very big city. It was one of the capital cities. Obviously, Imam had made that as a capital for Muslims. So it was a very big city with a lot of people in there. It was bordering with Syria. And it will be quite interesting if you look at the differences that occurred between the Iraqis and the Syrians. This goes back to even before Islam. You know, the Romans, you know, with the, you know, as a the Persian Empire also extended to Iraq and included Iraq as well. So this was a very sort of old conflict that always existed with the Syrians and the Iraqis all the time. And it remained in their roots from generation to generation. Obviously, after Islam, things change. You know, the Khawarij, for example, that you find, you know, that they gathered near in Basra, and Ibn Ziyad, coming from the Basra, was the governor at that time, replaced, you know, Noman Bashir, who was the governor in Kufa. You know, all of this thing run because it was very tribal. It went on for a long period of time, and their animosity with Imam Hassan alayhi salam, with Imam Hussein, eventually, you know, this was always there, right? And the Khawarij also fighting with Muawiyah, this was also one of that reason, because they were always kind of pushed by the Greeks, by the Romans, at that, you know, even before Islam as well. Anyways, inshallah, one day we'll look into the Islamic history and how really it affected the future of Islam as well. 12,000 letters were sent from Kufa to Imam Hussein alayhi salam with 22,000 signatures. And finally, Imam Hussein decided that he will send his cousin, Muslim ibn Aqil, the nephew of Amirul Mu'mineen, son of Hazrat Abu Talib. Aqil was one of the son of Hazrat Abu Talib alayhi salam. And Hazrat Aqil was married to Ruqayya, who was the daughter of Hazrat Amir, the daughter of Hazrat Amirul Mu'mineen, sister of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And here, Hazrat Muslim was sent, and he was given the title of Thiqa, meaning that someone who's reliable. You know, if the Imam says that he is Thiqa, which means he's reliable, his hadith, his saying, his actions could be accepted as hujjat, whatever he says. If he says that this is from the Imam, it should be accepted. Such a person was Hazrat Muslim. And he sends him to Kufa. Obviously, he is the representative of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He arrives in Kufa on 5th of Shawwal, and a great welcome to Hazrat Muslim. He arrives in the evening on the 5th of Shawwal, and obviously he was living in the house of Hazrat Hani. Hazrat Hani was the companion of the Prophet, a very respectable person. Obviously, companion of the Prophet, very few were left at that time, right? And he was the companion, and he was stationed in Kufa, and he was the one who welcomed him. And this was an honor itself. And this really shows itself that, you know, on what side Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Hazrat Muslim is, you know, if one wants to look at Islamic history. And here he was welcome, and he was living there. And according to certain traditions that we find, that thousands of people give bayah. Some say 12,000, a tradition. Some say 18,000, and even some say 40,000 people give bayah to Hazrat Muslim. A full support. This news reaches to Yazid, and Yazid decides to move Ibn Ziyad, or he's also known as Ibn Marjana, to Kufa. Ibn Ziyad was terror. If his name is taken, people will shiver and tremble. And he was a shrewd, cruel person. His father was also known for that very thing. And he disguised himself, and he enters Kufa. Noman ibn Bashir was the governor or the minister of Kufa at that time, you know, under the regime of Yazid, who was the Khalifa. And as he enters Kufa, he with a black turban, he disguised with a veil, and he enters. People thought that he was Imam Hussein. Everybody was so happy, very happy with him. They started giving bayah already, clapping. It was a feast. It was a carnival. People gathered around him, thinking that he's Imam. Two traditions. One says that he unveiled himself. People were shocked. But the second one, which seems to be more reliable, and that is when he reaches the castle of Noman ibn Bashir, Noman says that, you know, go away, you know, this, you know, to addressing him as Imam Hussein. But he speaks out and he says, you know, I'm here to replace you. Then people hear that voice, and he says, oh, they were all shocked. It's Ibn Ziyad who have come. Now, although Kufa was in full support of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, isn't it? You know, people giving bayah. And it happened to the extent that Ziyad was quite scared of what will happen. But Yazid was very clever as well. you know, or his ministers were very clever as well, that advised him to bring Ibn Ziyad to Kufa. And here what happens is that Ibn Ziyad started putting, as the awe of Ibn Ziyad was already there, Ibn Ziyad invited Hani to his, he threw a party in his castle and invited Hani. When he invites Hani, Hani figured out that if he goes there, he will be arrested. So he says that I'm not coming because of health reason. Then he sends few men to summon Hazrat Hani, and he was summoned in the castle, and he says, "Oh Hani, you have walked yourself towards your death." And here he disrespects the companion of the Prophet in such a fashion that he attacks him, that he hits him. Look how he treated the companion. The news spreads and it reaches the tribe of Hani. 4,000 men along with Hazrat Muslim surrounded the castle of Ibn Ziyad. Ibn Ziyad was more scared. He announced that there should be flags placed around Kufa and mentioned that whoever comes under this flag, they will be safe from the Yazid's army, which is about to come from Sham, from Syria. So he created a fitna. He created a rumor that tomorrow the army of Yazid is coming and is going to massacre you, and these are the flags. If you go under it, you will be safe. And at the same time, as Hani was arrested by Ibn Ziyad, he called the Qazi of Kufa and he says, "Go and tell the people that Hani is in good condition and he is with Ibn Ziyad and there's nothing to worry about. He is not arrested." They believed. When they could believe Qazi in this fashion, when they could be afraid of their lives and of their property, how will they support Imam Hussein? The whole army of Hazrat Muslim or Hani was dispersed. The supporters were dispersed because of fear that they will give their life tomorrow. Some of the ladies or some of the old men, they came and they took their young ones home. In the evening, by the Maghrib time, there were 300 odd friends of Hazrat Muslim left out of 4,000, if you want to say, or 12,000, if you want to say, or 18, for example. Perhaps all did not gather the castle, you know, they were perhaps, let's say, 4,000. 300 left to join the prayer in the Masjid of Kufa with Hazrat Muslim. After he finished his prayer, there were 10 left. By the time he reaches the door of the masjid, there were less than few left. By the time he reaches the alley, the kucha, none were left. Hazrat Muslim was all alone. A town which was in full support completely turned against Hazrat Muslim. Not even, I mean, basically, yeah, it turned against Hazrat Muslim, alayhi salam. And this really made Hazrat Muslim sad and sorrowful. And what will happen now? As he has already sent the letter to the Imam that the Kufans are welcoming, there are so many people, and Imam already have the proof of it, the reference of it, these bags of letters, 12,000 letters. And this is what, you know, you are reminded that when Hazrat Hur stopped Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Imam Hussein asked them to show the letters. You know, they brought those jute bags, you know, bags full of letters, and they emptied in front of Hur, saying that these are the support. And eventually now here, Muslim by himself. As it says that he was in the alleys of Kufa, he stood by a door, and there was Towa, a lady, who came, and here Hazrat Muslim asked for some water, thirsty. And Towa, you know, when she looks around, nobody around, because it's a curfew, a ghost town, right? Because everybody have, you know, ran away. Tomorrow the Yazid's army gonna come, so they have to, you know, hide themselves, they have to protect themselves. And here Hazrat Muslim was given water, after which he asked, you know, after which she, after giving the water, she went inside, and for some reason she comes back outside again. Hazrat Muslim was still standing there. And she inquires that, "Don't you have a house? Why don't you go to your house?" And as you are aware that it is a very, you know, dangerous night to night. He says, no, I don't. I'm a foreigner here. I'm a strange person here. Who are you? He says, I'm Muslim ibn Aqil. I'm the one who was sent by Imam Hussein. Tears flows into the eyes of him. He opens the door right away. He was the lover. He has seen Amirul Mu'mineen indeed. Huh? There wasn't a person, there wasn't a house that cried for Ali ibn Abi Talib when he was shaheed in Kufa. Every house, including Muslims, non-Muslims, everybody cried. So here Tawa opens the door, welcomes Muslim ibn Aqil, but the next day, Ibn Ziyad was so scared, although Hazrat Muslim was left alone, but he was so scared that he asked his soldiers to search all the masajid. All of the masajid in Kufa were searched, the masjid, the main masjid was searched, and there he goes and gives a sermon in which he says that whoever have given safe haven to Muslim ibn Aqil, he is in trouble. His life will not be spared. And if someone points out to where he is, he will be rewarded. And Bilal, who was the son of Tawa, he informs Ibn Ziyad that Muslim is hiding in his house or in his mother's house. Early hours of the 9th, the day of Arafah, obviously, as we just recited Surah Dahar, in which it says, those who are the faithful ones, the sincere ones, they are doing tahajjud, they worship at night. Muslim worshipped at night. The light prayers, some traditions or scholars also read about the dream that Hazrat Muslim have of the Prophet, that, O Muslim, this is the hour you are about to meet us. And then the galloping of the horses, the hooves of the houses are heard by Hazrat Muslim. Muslim says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And he does not want any harm to the host. So he leaves. He leaves the house of Tawa. As he comes out, Muhammad ibn Ash'as, who is the commander of the army of Ibn Ziyad, sent with 70 men to really arrest Muslim, one against 70. They were badly wounded, 45 or odd were killed. Muhammad ibn Ash'as sends a message to Ibn Ziyad and he says that, are you trying to arrest a son of a vegetable seller? This is a lion. We are talking about, he's Muslim ibn Aqil ibn Abi Talib. Ibn Ziyad sent more men. Really arrest. Tanhaiye Muslim. Usi tarah se tanhaiye Aba Abdul al-Hussein alayhi salam. Isi liye hum kehte hain Sayyid al-Shuhada. Hazrat Muslim bhi shaheed hue hain. Aur jo tanhai Hazrat Muslim ne dar ki hai, usi khisam ki tanhai Aba Abdul al-Hussein alayhi salam ne bhi dar. دوسرے شہدہ اس قسم کے تنہائی اور غربت کو درک نہیں کیا کیونکہ آبا عبداللہ الحسین پہنچ جاتے تھے مدد کے لیے. جب وہ شہید ہوتے تھے ان کا سر امام حسین کی گود میں ہوا کرتا تھا, لیکن حضرت مسلم کا سر امام حسین کی گود میں نہیں رہے گا. تو یہاں پہ شہادت مسلم نعوذ باللہ افضل نہ ہو جائے, اسی طرح سے حسین تک و تنہا کربلا کے میدان میں رہیں گے. مسلم تنہا جنگ کر رہے ہیں دشمنوں سے, کوچے میں پشت بام پہ چھت پہ چڑھا گیا ہے, مختلف جو گھر ہوتے ہیں اطراف اس پہ چڑھ کے پتھرے پھینکے جا رہے ہیں, سنگ باران ہو رہا ہے, لکڑیاں پھینکے جا رہی ہیں, حتیٰ کہ روایت میں کہا کہ آگ کے گولے پھینکے گئے حضرت مسلم کو گرفتار کرنے کے لیے. چو طرف سے حضرت مسلم کو گھیرا گیا لیکن حضرت مسلم کو کوئی قابو کر نہیں پا رہا ہے. ایک روایتوں میں یہ ملتا ہے کہ یہاں پہ محمد ابن اشعث کہنے لگا کہ اے مسلم, ہم تمہیں نہیں ماریں گے, ہم تمہیں امان دیتے ہیں, تم اپنے آپ کو سرنڈر کر دو. اور ابن سیاد چاہتا ہے کہ تمہارے سے کچھ گفتگو کرے, تمہارے سے کچھ بات کرے. حضرت مسلم اتنے زخمی ہو چکے ہیں یہاں پر, اس کے باوجود جنگ بھی کر رہے ہیں. پھر اس کے بعد حضرت مسلم کہتے ہیں کہ کیا میں تمہیں کس بات پہ میں تمہاری بات کو قبول کروں, کیا یقین ہے؟ پھر سے دوبارہ محمد ابن اشعث نے قسم کھا کے کہا کہ ہم قبول کرتے ہیں کہ تمہیں ہمیں امن دیں,
میں تمہیں نہیں ماریں گے. پھر روایت میں ہے کہ حضرت مسلم نے اس بات کو قبول کیا. لیکن جو دوسری روایت یہ ہے کہ جیسا حضرت مسلم جنگ کرتے چلے جا رہے تھے, آگے بڑھتے چلے جا رہے تھے, انہوں نے پیچھے سے جب حملہ کرنا شروع کیا, پیچھے ایک گڑھا کھودا اور پھر اس کے بعد حضرت مسلم اس میں گر گئے اور پھر اس کے بعد حضرت مسلم کو گرفتار کیا. بہرحال ہیلے سے, جھوٹ جھوٹ سے, دھوکے سے حضرت مسلم کو گرفتار کیا گیا اور پھر حضرت مسلم کو ابن زیاد کے قریب لایا گیا. اور جب ابن زیاد کو گرفتار کر کے لایا گیا, ابن زیاد کہتا ہے امیر المومنین کو سلام کر, حضرت مسلم کہتے ہیں میرا صرف ایک ہی آغا ہے, ایک ہی مولا ہے, وہ ہے امیر المومنین ام حسین علیہ السلام. پھر اس کے بعد حضرت مسلم کی وصیتیں تھیں اور حضرت ابن زیاد کہتا ہے کہ میں تمہیں قتل کر دوں گا. اور تین وصیتیں حضرت مسلم کی تھیں. ایک وصیت یہ تھی کہ پیام بھیجا جائے امام حسین کو کہ کوفہ آنے کے قابل نہیں ہے. دوسری وصیت یہ تھی کہ میں نے کچھ قرض لیا ہے, اس قرض کو میرے ذرا اور میری تلوار کو بیچ کر اس قرض کو ادا کیا جائے. اور تیسری وصیت یہ تھی کہ مجھے کچھ پانی دیا جائے. تو مسلم پیاسے ہیں, جنگ کی ہے. اور پھر اس کے بعد جب پانی لایا گیا, پہلی وصیت تو ابن زیاد نے کہا کہ میں نے قبول نہیں کرتا ہوں, میں کوئی قاصد کو نہیں بھیجوں گا کہ امام حسین یہاں نہیں آئے. دوسری وصیت قبول کی, تیسری وصیت پانی دیا. لیکن جب پانی کا جام لایا گیا, حضرت مسلم پینا چاہ رہے ہیں لیکن اتنے زخمی ہیں, ہوٹ زخمی ہے, منہ لگاتے ہیں پانی پورا خون آلود ہو جاتا ہے, پانی کو پھینک دیتے ہیں. پھر سے پانی منگاتے ہیں, خون آلود ہو جاتا ہے, پانی کو پھینک دیتے ہیں. تیسری دفعہ منگاتے ہیں, دندن مبارک شہید جو ہوئے ہیں وہ پانی میں گر جاتے ہیں, خون آلود, کہتے ہیں ان للہ و ان الیہ راجعون, خدا چاہتا ہے کہ میں پیاسا ہی شہید ہو جاؤں. پھر اس کے بعد جب سیڑھیوں پہ دار الامارہ کی طرف لے جایا جا رہا ہے, مسلم استغفار کر رہے ہیں, گریا کر رہے ہیں. یہاں پہ پوچھا گیا مسلم کیوں گر رہا, گریا کر رہے ہو, کیا خوف کا رہے ہو؟ نہیں, میں گریا کر رہا ہوں میرے آغا, میرے مولا کے لیے, میری شہزادی کے لیے, ان چھوٹے چھوٹے بچوں کے لیے جو اب کوفہ میں آنے والے ہیں. میرے ساتھ یہ حشر ہوا ہے, ان کے ساتھ کیا حشر ہوگا. دارالعمارہ پہ اوپر لے جایا گیا اور پھر اس کے بعد حضرت مسلم مکہ کی طرف دیکھ کر اپنا سلام دیتے ہیں, سلام آخر دیتے ہیں, السلام علیکم یا ابا عبداللہ. یہاں پر امام حسین علم امامت سے دیکھ رہے ہیں مسلم شہید ہو رہے ہیں. جیسا ہی تلوار چلتی ہے مسلم کے گردن پہ, گردن جدا ہوتی ہے اور یہاں پہ امام حسین ان للہ و ان الیہ راجعون کی صدا بلند کر کر اس خیمے میں چلے جاتے ہیں جہاں پہ چھوٹی بچی ہے حضرت مسلم علیہ السلام. فوری وہاں پر جا کر حضرت مسلم کی بچی کو لپٹا لیتے ہیں, پیار کرتے ہیں. بچی پوچھتی ہے میرے مولا, میرے آقا, کیا میرے باپ شہید ہو گئے ہیں, آپ اس طرح سے میرے ساتھ پیش آ رہے ہیں؟ یہاں پہ کہتے ہیں امام حسین آج سے میں تیرا باپ ہوں اور زینب تیری ماں رہے گی. پھر اس کے بعد یہی جملہ حضرت سکینہ آخری وقت پہ کہتی ہے جب رن کے جب آخری ودا لیتے ہیں. امام حسین سکینہ کو پیار کرتے ہیں, لپٹاتے ہیں اور یہاں پر حضرت سکینہ کہتے ہیں کیا میں شہید ہونے, کیا میں یتیم ہونے والی ہوں بابا, جس طرح سے آپ اسی طرح سے جس طرح سے مسلم کی بیٹی کے ساتھ پیش آئے تھے. اور یہاں پہ سر چند تن سے جدا ہوا حضرت مسلم کا اور ان کی جسد کو دارالعمارہ سے پھینکا جاتا ہے زمین پر. اور پھر اس کے بعد حضرت مسلم کی لاش اور حضرت ہانی کی لاش لٹکائی جاتی ہے. بعض روایتوں میں یہ ملتا ہے کہ حضرت ہانی کی لاش کو دفنایا گیا ہے, میسمہ تمار کی جو زوجہ ہے وہ آ کر, اور جو حضرت ہانی کی زوجہ ہے وہ آ کر حضرت ہانی کی لاش کو دفناتے ہیں اور قبیلے والے مل کر دفناتے ہیں. لیکن حضرت مسلم کی لاش اسی طرح سے ٹنگا رہی ہے. آپ تصور کریے کہ وہ جو چھوٹی بچی ہے جب کوفہ پہنچتی ہے اپنے بابا کی لاش کو دیکھ. اس کے فوری بعد وہ وقت بھی آ گیا جب ہانی کو خسائیوں کے بازار میں لے جایا جاتا ہے اور ہانی سے کہا جاتا ہے کہ اپنی گردن کو آگے کر ہانی, تاکہ ہم گردن کو قلم کرے. ہانی یہاں پہ کہتے ہیں کہ میں اپنے دشمنوں کی مدد نہیں کروں گا. یہاں پہ ایک ایسا وار چلتا ہے ہانی کے گردن پہ جس سے وہ بچ جاتے ہیں, لیکن جب دوسرا وار چلتا ہے تو ہانی کی گردن بھی جدا ہو جاتی ہے. اللہ لعنت اللہ علی قوم الظالمین سیعلم الذین ظلموا ای منقلب ینقلبون. ماتم حسین یا حسین.